Well, good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. Great to see you again and hear you, more importantly.
It's good. I always seem to start these podcasts in the exact same way by saying, well, hello to whoever's joining us today.
I think...
So it's good to be able to say it to you each week. It's sort of a bit of a routine, much like the thing of me going and having a sandwich before I seem to come onto Zoom at the moment for any sort of chat. Today was a delicious ham sandwich.
Really?
So on a brioche bun, because we were using them up leftovers from a barbecue that obviously isn't going to happen due to the pouring rain. But, you know, still very delicious and probably quite bad for me with all the buttery goodness. But it's good to be able to enjoy things like that, isn't it?
Of course it is. And it's good to have a catchphrase as well, Tom, because every great artiste in the past has always had a catchphrase, and they're always remembered for catchphrases, aren't they? And talking of catchphrases, there was a whole programme dedicated called Catchphrase, wasn't there? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Still say is, what
I
you
think,
see.
If you're watching at the wrong time.
Say what you see
on ITV.
Say what you see, which is a good sort of glimpse into the Bible, really. Say what you see, say what you read, and see what happens. Which is what we're trying to do on the podcast, of course. Some weeks is just to dig back into the Bible and see what it has to say on the back of the Sundays, which is what we're going to do today, of course. But before all that, Tom.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a bit of a pointed question, really, because I've got something I'd love to share with you. But I'll ask you the question first. Before we go into the book of Daniel and chapter 1, I wanted to see, has there been anything that has surprised you that's come out of this sort of lockdown that we've been in? Has there been anything that's been like really positive and really good that has come out of this period? Because we talked a lot about all the things that we haven't been able to do and that haven't worked out. We talked a lot about the fact that football was cancelled and now it's kind of back. But has there been anything that's kind of started during this period that has been really good and surprised you?
I played lots of new board games. I'm not a great board gamer, but Kerry is a great board gamer. She loves to play board games. So I have played and quite enjoyed several board games, including a brand new one which we have just got called Patchwork, Tom, on your recommendation. And I have to say that we played it for the first time at the weekend, and what a great game. It's gonna become a bit addictive, I think, really. But recommendation,
absolutely.
Thank you for that. That was very, very good. I lost, of course, but then I often lose to Kerry, whatever it is, Rummy Cub or Scrabble or Labyrinth or Yahtzee, and now Patchwork. But hey, you know, it's a lot of fun, and so I'm learning to love board games a bit more than I used to. Yes, thank you.
It's a fantastic game, Patchwork. We're not getting paid to advertise it. If you've been round to our house, you'll have probably been begged or told that you have to play it with us, and you've probably gone away and bought it yourself after it. So that's been really good, and I'm sure lots of other people have great stories of games and things that they've started. But Tim, I wanted to play you a little clip of a worship song, or should I say multiple worship songs, that have been coming out on YouTube. They started out a couple of months ago, and they are slightly interesting. Now, I wonder if you can tell me what song it is, and then I'll share a little bit of why I have been so intrigued and interested by the story behind these songs.
Okay. Yeah, I think I could guess what it is. That's amazing, Tom. Wow, what a singer that is. And I don't quite know what to say about the quality of the singing. And but yes, Light of the World, I'm guessing that is. That was the chorus of Light of the World by Tim Hughes, was it? So
absolutely. Well, yes, by Tim Hughes originally. Yeah. That was
yes.
I think,
that wasn't Tim
in the
Hughes.
Key of...
We better make clear that wasn't Tim Hughes singing.
Yes, That wasn't Tim Hughes, although it was somebody singing in the key of KFC.
Oh, very good. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
You can insert your own sound effects.
Very good.
The reason that I play this to you is it's on a YouTube channel called The Worship Chicken, okay? Like Worship Chicken. And you might think it's all a bit of a joke, and partially it is. It was kind of done a few weeks ago when the UK Blessing came out. It was a sort of response to that, sort of done in humour, but also, actually, it's had a profound impact upon a lot of people. And there was a video posted a couple of days ago by this channel. I've been loving every single one that they've done up till now of various different worship songs. But they put out the person behind it. It's not just a chicken singing, I should say. There is probably a person behind the camera. But they put out a video saying that there'd been a few negative comments saying, you know, this isn't worship, this isn't right, this is taking the mick, this is all a joke. And yet they felt the need to respond and say about the hundreds of messages they've had from people explaining why, for whatever reason, this was something that connected with them. There was one which was really, I really enjoyed reading it, that said, "I just wanted to tell you what you do is worth it and unique. I've been struggling this whole afternoon to concentrate. Anxiety levels have been elevated and I've struggled to pray. I prayed for God to ease my anxiety and not let me worry anymore. I quoted some Bible verses. They didn't work. Nothing I seemed to do worked. I decided just to go to YouTube for no reason whatsoever, and this was a first video on the list, and I wanted to let you know that it did the job. At this point, God knew I needed a little bit of laughter combined with his word. Thank you for all you do." And there's all of these video, these kind of comments that have come out that have just sort of said this strange thing of, why on earth is a rubber chicken singing worship songs connecting with people? But I think the thing I take away from it is a simple message of, if God can use a rubber chicken to sing worship songs slightly poorly on the internet, and it affects hundreds, thousands of lives, bringing people genuinely to know Jesus as a result of this being the starting point and the exploration, how much more can he do with each of us who don't have to sing in squawks? Of course, singing's a bit of a dodgy subject at the moment for us to talk about, given we're currently not allowed to sing in churches. But you kind of get the picture where I'm going with it.
And it is a reminder, really. So I was sort of thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about rubber chickens, to be honest, but I was thinking about getting the message across when we did that little short video, our Friday video, you know. And I was stood next to board number 6 of that of the NBC sort of timeline in the church, and it was communicating. And I had a phrase in my mind that I forgot to mention when we videoed it, and it was like, you know, something like the methods may change, but the message never does. You know, something like that. I was thinking, I must say that, and then I forgot. So I'm going to say it now. The methods will change, but the message never changes. And you know, I'm old enough to have been through many different ways of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. You know, my background in the Salvation Army, I spent lots of years playing a brass instrument in the open air at very early o'clock on a Sunday morning, annoying everybody who heard it, but they at least knew we were there. And that was a method that had been used for many times. And then, of course, Alpha recently say, let's bring it to Alpha as a method to get the message across, and how things have changed. And even during this lockdown, of course, we've had to find new ways, new methods for getting the same message across. So every age has its method, and we must keep adapting. And if rubber chickens are going to do it, then, hey, let's do the rubber chicken and let's see what happens.
So subtitles obviously become incredibly important at that point as well, don't
but
they?
But to make us smile, I mean, good. Mm. You know, it is so important to remember during what is a tough time and some very sad things. And I know many people who listen to this are still going through some difficult times, whether, you know, still teaching the kids, still working crazy hours, still facing the front line of shop work or medics, you know, who are still confronting some real difficulties, have faced many things. And the coming out of this is going to be difficult for many people. But, you know, there's that sense of smile and laughter that God has given to us as a gift to sort of open us back up to him and to lift our whole bodies, if you like, back into his presence, and to remember the joy that he brings to us as well. So good on the Worship Chicken anyway, and I'm going to be Googling that as soon as I come off this chat with you, Tom, and smiling a bit more today. Thank you.
It is wonderful, isn't it? And we want to spend a bit of time, hopefully not too long. We're aware that our podcast lengths have been somewhat relaxed over recent days, so we're keen to try and rein it back in a bit, but that sort of relies on me and Tim doing our job properly with this. We want to look a bit more at what we did at the weekend by looking at parts of Daniel chapter 1. And of course, if you joined us on Sunday, you'll have known that we didn't have the opportunity to talk about everything that we wanted to. That's because, again, we were trying to keep it into a very tight time schedule, and even still, it ran on to the kind of half-hour mark for our conversation then. But we want to look at a couple of individual points that we didn't get to expand on at the weekend. And to kind of help paint the scene, I'd like to read a few verses from Daniel chapter 1. To set the scene at this point, Jerusalem has been besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar and his army, and the treasures have been carried off to the temple. And now we see the next part of King Nebuchadnezzar's plan for the people of Jerusalem. So this is Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, you'll recognise that the official agrees to this, and Daniel proves that the king's food doesn't make him bigger and stronger than he would have been if he was just on vegetables and water. And you begin to see this, the story of the whole of the book of Daniel, this thing of living counterculturally in the world.
Yeah, it's such an amazing chapter, and it's easy to get lost in this chapter with so much going on here, and this thought that, you know, Daniel and the three friends, they became a little small group, didn't they, the four of them, really. And I guess it also points out the need for a small group in whatever culture we live in. And if we are in a particular situation in our lives where we're on our own in the workplace, or we're on our own in our families, it's really important to have other people stand with us. And Daniel had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and that was so crucial to the rest of the story. But how important it was for him to take a stand in what was the king's strategy, which was obviously just to assimilate them to the Babylonian context, and also to disempower them, I guess, within that old way of living in terms of what they thought, what they believed, how they lived. And the king was trying just to make sure that all of that was left behind, and he was going to form them in his image rather than the image of their Jewish upbringing as well. And that's a very common strategy still today, isn't it? You know, for dictators, despots, to try and bring people under control and just to consume them with what the king wanted to teach them, really, and to let go. And you know, these guys were obviously really key players, weren't they? You know, bright, handsome. It always upsets me when it says that word, handsome, but never mind, I don't know why. You know, they were the sort of the perfect specimen, really, weren't they? You know, six packs and everything. But
they would have been the cream of the crop. And they would have been the best of the best.
And so they were destined for leadership, weren't they? You know, and so that if the king hadn't brought them into his realm, if you like, then they would have led the rebellion, probably, of the exiles. So it's a really shrewd move, isn't it? You know, to actually say, well, here's potential leaders. I see that these guys are going to be key to the future. So I can't have them leading a rebellion. I need to have them if you like, inside the tent. There's an old saying that I can't say on this podcast, but it's better to be to have people inside the tent than outside the tent. Or it's you keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer, you know. And that's been a rule for politicians, you know, for leaders all through their lives. And this is just an example, an ancient example of that happening.
And of course, Nebuchadnezzar would have been used to doing this.
Yes, of course.
He'll have been used to taking this plan, putting it into action. It's almost just got a series of checklists. Take the young, remove from them all the authority figures, isolate them in a foreign place, give them a free education so they feel like they owe something back to you, teach them, train them, give them good food and show them the riches and power that could be theirs if they fall in line, and then go through the thing of wiping out all of their previous beliefs and practices. And one of the big ways of doing that is by giving them new names. We'll come to the names in one moment, because that's really important. We didn't touch at all on it over the weekend. But we have to recognise that normally this plan would have worked. And we've seen throughout history that this plan does work for people who want power. And I think it's really great you pointed out that this would have been something that would have also stopped, or at least helped to stop, things like rebellions. Get the people on your side. I guess if you can change the minds of the people to accept you, then you're no longer going to have to fight them, which is the other alternative. Yeah.
And the other people around, I mean, he would have had more friends than these. Maybe they weren't chosen. But they look on and see Daniel and the guys sort of just becoming part of the court, I guess. So there's a sort of saying, well, it must be all right then, mustn't it? You know, it must be all right to be in this place at this particular time. Because here's Daniel, you know, who's the best of the best, and he's okay, you know, he's okay. Yeah. I mean, a bit like Joseph, I guess, wasn't it? You know, slightly different story, different circumstances. But, you know, he was assimilated into the Egyptian culture. And of course, out of that, you know, he was used by God to save his family and ultimately to save the nation. But there's a sort of similar thing going on that Daniel, you know, worked with integrity with it, that Joseph worked with incredible integrity as well. But he never forgot where his roots were, and he never forgot. Yeah, where his foundation was. And I think Daniel and his friends were also in that place, which is probably why they drew the line at the food thing, wasn't it, really? That they wanted to say, you know, we haven't forgotten you know, who God is, and we haven't forgotten that we're going to trust him and prove that he is a God worth serving as well. Because they never expected to end up in Babylon, did they? You know, I guess they knew that it was pretty rough and tough. And as James reminded us on Sunday, you know, there were several battles for Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar. I think he said there were three sort of excursions. And
there are three main battles, and this is the first of them. So Daniel's come over as part of this first group of people, and then they went back and they got more people and more people.
So very unexpected. Yeah. He didn't expect to live in Babylon, did he? You know, but he found himself there. And then it's about how do I respond to finding myself in this place? And that can happen for anybody today, can't it? It can happen for anybody who's listening to this podcast. You can find yourself in a place that you didn't expect to be. But actually, you know, what are you going to do when you're there? So it might be a workplace, mightn't it? You know, you get a job, everything looks great. You end up in that workplace and suddenly you think, oh, my goodness, this isn't a great place to be, is it? You know, people don't share my faith. The standards are maybe a bit wayward. You know, what do I do? And it's the same issue, I think, you know, that we face the challenge of, yeah, what are we going to do and how are we going to respond to it?
So to come into this names, the names are incredibly interesting, aren't they? These four guys that we meet, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, their names all had significant meaning. And I kind of looked a little bit at the Hebrew, and I'll share something with you in a moment, which is fascinating. But Daniel's name gets changed from Daniel, which means God is my judge, to Belteshazzar, which means Bel or Marduk, protect his life. You've got Hananiah, whose name means the Lord shows grace, to now his new name of the command of Aku, which is a Sumerian kind of moon god, a deity that was worshipped at the time. You've got Mishael, whose name means who is what God is, and his new name Meshach is simply who is what Aku is. And then you've got Azariah, the Lord helps, and his new name Abednego simply means servant of Nego. And so their names have been shifted. And what's really interesting is when I kind of did a little bit of background study on this and I saw the Hebrew, the same word is used twice, but it has a different meaning. I'm having an absolute brain blank as to what that is. Is that a synonym? or homonym. Homonym. I should know this.
Someone will write in and tell you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm going to be scolded by...
Who was your English teacher anyway, at school?
I had many. Oh, I see. Had many. Okay. I think there's. I know of many English students. It's a homonym, by the way. It is a homonym. but there's enough English teachers in our congregation, yes, who will definitely start shouting down their headphones now or whatever
that,
to us.
That was why I didn't want to give an opinion, just in case I was wrong.
But the same word here, the Hebrew word is yasem, y-a-s-e-m. And yasem means either to set upon or to set one's heart. And so in Daniel chapter 1, verse 7, the chief official gave them new names. He set upon them new names. So the chief official yasem them new names. But in Daniel chapter 8, but Daniel resolved, set his heart, not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. So there's a really clever bit of wordplay there where the same word is used, but actually it's showing that Daniel, to him, a name change, his thing of set upon, it's just a name. It's something that at the end of the day does not directly affect his relationship with God. There is great importance in a name. Please don't get me wrong. Names are one of the most important things that we have. But if someone said that they were going to change your name from one thing to another and you didn't have a choice about it, it's one of those things that actually I think Daniel's just thinking, whatever, whatever. I'm going to get in more trouble than it's worth for this. But then when it comes to the food and the wine, which clearly, as you said at the weekend, Tim, he has drawn a really strict line here. Daniel says that he's going to set his heart not to do this. So you've got this thing, haven't you, where his name's been changed, whatever, fine, time to get on with it. But then he's asked to do this other thing, and he knows that if he starts to do that, he's starting to say, I accept it. And I think there's just these really powerful little moments where we see the importance of us kind of living out our lives as kind of transformers. Mm. So we see these situations that go on, and sometimes there's going to be moments when we conform because it's not something that actually matters to us. And I guess at the moment, as we look at the COVID pandemic, there's a number of things going on where we are conforming to the government's rules on a lot of these things because actually it's the sensible thing for us to do and we don't have a choice by law. But as time goes on, there's going to be moments when we're going to be called to transform. And already we've seen that leaders of all the denominations have fought to allow churches to open for private prayer, because for them, that's something that they were shocked that was not allowed when all the shops were allowed to reopen. And I have a great amount of respect for them in terms of saying, actually, we're going to stand up for this and we're going to fight to make sure that we can pray in our buildings, over our country, over our towns and cities. And I know that I was reading about Leicester, how there's been a big push this week for Christians in Leicester to be praying for their city as they go through this sort of second wave, as it were. And so there's these moments when we're called to sort of fit in, to fall in line, but then there's also moments when we need to stand against what is the cultural norm and to say, actually, we're going to have to set apart, we're going to have to yasem ourselves on this. We're going to have to set apart ourselves from what is going on around us. And Daniel does it here, and clearly God is on his side. And that's what sets it apart from us just trying to be rebellious. Because this isn't a rebellion. This is a really carefully decided move from Daniel.
And he asked, didn't he? You know, he didn't just... He asked the guy, can you do this for me, you know? Will you do this for me? You know, it was a moment of... It wasn't like ranting and raving about it. He just said, you know, can we just have different food and let's do it for 10 days and let's see how it goes, you know? So he's sort of testing the water a little bit, but also it's born out of a real confidence in God, isn't it? This is the right thing to do. This is what I'm going to do, and I'll show you, you know, that God is God. And through it, he gains more respect, actually, doesn't he? Sometimes we worry that by taking a stand on something, we're going to lose respect. But actually, I think, you know, we begin to find that actually people begin to respect us more if we draw the line rather than conforming. And I would expect that in a group of people, there are others who are longing to draw a line somewhere, who get drawn into stuff they don't want to do. But it takes one person to stand up and say, no, this is what we're going to do. And then actually that then gives other people permission to say, actually, no, I'm going to do this as well. The prayer thing's interesting, isn't it? You know, and we'll come on to that in later chapters of Daniel, how the prayer experience becomes really important. And but that sort of take, you know, what do I do? I had a few trips to Ukraine on mission trips at my previous church, and one of the things that really moved me there, and Ukraine, you know, Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox country, Russian Orthodox, a country that was riddled with a lot of corruption at a particular time. And the church in the town I was in, Cherkasy, resolved that every Friday afternoon they would go to the town square and they would kneel down as Christians and pray silently together.
Wow.
That was all they did, you know, just to seek God, but a very public expression. And hundreds of Christians went there, and it grew into an incredible movement of just quietly expressing, no, we're going to trust God in this. We believe God's going to come through, and we're going to keep asking him for this. So it's been done, hasn't it, in the past? And Daniel, you know, is an example of an individual who decided to do that. And, you know, we should gain confidence as well for our own journeys and our own faith journeys and experiences as well in this.
And I think also for Daniel and for us today, we kind of see this picture of our needs to be bold and to live in truth, full of integrity, because actually, as we see all through the Bible, that's what's going to provide us with results in the long term. And it was results that got Daniel where he was. Daniel didn't give loads of excuses for why he was going to do this. He simply said to the people he needed to, I want you to let me do this for 10 days and just see the results of this. See what's going to happen. And he persevered.
And it's a bit galling.
He stuck with it.
Sorry, at the end of it, he was even more handsome than he was when he started. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So maybe that's either a comment on vegetarianism or it's a comment on the power of God, or it's a combination of both. And I think what's remarkable is that actually we see here that this whole story has just got so many moments when God comes into the situation. And, you know, I briefly spoke at the weekend about the fact that in that post-Easter slot, we looked at Jesus. We looked at the way Jesus came into people's lives and he had an impact on them. He walked alongside them. He showed them a better way of doing things. Then we've looked at the Holy Spirit in the kind of 5 or 6 weeks that came after it, and the impact that the Holy Spirit has in our lives when it comes into us and walks alongside us. And now we go back to the Old Testament and we see the completion of the Trinity in that God moves in Daniel's life. He moves, as we'll see in the coming weeks as well, moves in Shadrach's life, Meshach's life, Abednego's life. He moves in the officials' lives. He moves in so many ways. And for us to be able to see this, for us to get this whole picture, to us to see this whole story of the Bible come to life today for us, is something that is just so powerful. It's so, so good to be able to explore.
And it has great impact, doesn't it? Verse 16 says, you know, once he'd seen Daniel and the three guys looking good, he said, so the guard took away the other people's choice food and wine and gave them vegetables instead. So yeah, there's a bigger impact to what Daniel did, and the result, again, you know, verse 20, when the king questioned Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Wow, what an impact and that God had done in those guys' lives, and set the tone, set the scene really for what God wanted to do with them and through them to the nation as well at that particular time. Amazing story, and so much to dig into, and we're looking forward to taking on that story into Daniel chapter 2 on Sunday.
I'm very much looking forward to hear what you have to say about Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Thank you.
I think at least some people have probably taken up the challenge of reading the entire book. I had a beautiful photo message. I won't say who, but someone sent me over a photo of them reading the story with their young child today.
A
beautiful storybook Bible with some amazing pictures, reading the story of Daniel. And it's these little moments that we are really encouraging to us, to see people engaging with what's going on. And still, it must be said, still being the church, even though we're not inside the four walls.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Tom. That's made me want to dig into it even more now, because it's so full of help for us right now, you know, in the 2020, reading the same text and seeing what God wants to say and do through us at this particular time. Thanks for that. Really helpful.
So as we come into the end of today's podcast, we want to continue to pray a prayer across our nation and across the world as we continue to battle through the COVID-19 pandemic. You only have to turn on the news to realise that it's definitely not gone away, and it's important for us to keep in mind the need to pray, and we would urge you to continue to pray as well. We sent out a lovely prayer from Tear Funds that a friend of the church passed on to us. So if you're on email, you'll have seen that yesterday as part of our NBC update. But we want to pray together now a simple prayer over our country. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, our world has been shaken by multiple crises. We are suffering in many ways, physically, mentally, economically, medically, and socially. Ancient wounds and divisions between nations, generations, peoples, and tribes have been freshly revealed amidst these challenges. With everything in turmoil around us, we stand and worship you. We are grateful that even when we are being shaken, you have placed us into an unshakable kingdom. Lord, we thank you for placing us in your unshakable kingdom. Fill us with peace, faith, hope, and joy as we worship you. Heal the deep divisions fracturing our world.
Father, today we stand in the gap for the cities, nations, and peoples of our world. Raw pain and hopelessness lie underneath the divisions fracturing us. Make us ambassadors of reconciliation and beacons of hope as we walk in your love and proclaim your word. We believe for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Revive your church and bring salvation to millions. Lord, empower us to both live and proclaim your word. We come before your throne with one voice, boldly asking for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, please bring revival to our cities and lands.
Lord, we pray against the pandemic that has been ravaging us for months. As one church, we lift up the scientists, doctors, nurses, and other first responders battling this virus. We also pray for the essential workers risking their own health to protect, serve, and feed us. We are thankful for the cities and nations where COVID-19 is mitigated, yet we continue to cry out before your throne until this pandemic has been completely eradicated. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of you. We come before your throne today and we ask you to eradicate COVID-19. Heal our cities and nations from its ravages.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for listening along.
And please keep in touch. If there's anything you want to chat about on the back of the podcast or anything else, or we can pray with you and for you, please do let us know. And we'd love to connect with you however we can.
Yes, next week we've got a very special guest lined up, so you won't want to miss that, I'm sure. And if it's any help to you at all, Tim won't be joining us. Tim's off for a very, very well-earned week off. So you'll be stuck with just me and my very special guest next week. So do join us next week as we come back for another MBC Connect. And of course, over the weekend, we've got so much to get involved with. All the details can be found on our website. But until then, have a great week. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.